Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, especially this beginning part, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, there was an episode of Seinfeld where George is dating this girl, and whenever she tells a story to him, she shortens it. Okay, she kind of skips the entire part, and she just says the same thing, yada yada yada. Right? So she says, "I was on Fifth Avenue, and yada yada yada, I ended up with a free massage and facial." Or she says, "Yeah, my girlfriend thought she had Legionnaire's disease, and yada yada yada, it was just bad tuna salad." Okay. And at first he likes this, you know, it's very concise, it's very short, it's really good. But after a while of her doing this, she starts to leave things out that to him seem pretty important. And so finally he says, just stop all the yada yada stuff. Just talk normally. Like, tell me about the Fifth Avenue story. And she goes, "Okay, well, I was on Fifth Avenue and I stole a watch. And I was so excited by this, I went out and got a facial and massage and skipped out on the payment, you know." And then he realizes just as soon have the yada yada. Now, sometimes there are stories like that where we take things out, and strange as it may seem, Mark does that in his gospel. Throws a little yada yada in there where it shouldn't be. Now, the gospel of Mark, as you can probably see, if you read the beginning of this, as opposed to all the other gospels, is very different. In fact, it doesn't even begin with a complete sentence. This first line is a title. He's not talking about, I'm not giving you a biography of a very important person, or can I tell you all these things about him? He goes, that's not it. I'm telling you about a new era that has come into the world, and he even coins a phrase. It's the era of the gospel, the good news. And it's an era that comes in because of one man, Jesus Christ. And as you can see in chapter 1, there's a preface to Jesus Christ, and that's John the Baptist. And there's a preface to John the Baptist, and that is Isaiah. Now, Mark goes to great pains here of describing John the Baptist for someone whose gospel is so totally concise, where he throws lots of yada yadas in there. He sure goes to a lot of words here to explain exactly what he looked like and what he ate, even. Because he wants us to see that John the Baptist was the second coming of Elijah. That's what he wanted us to see. He wanted us to see that he was an Old Testament prophet. And that as a prophet, he had called to prepare the way for the people. And so he is seen as a prophet, and as a prophet, he quotes the prophet Malachi and the prophet Isaiah. But that's when he kind of leaves something out. And we can't blame him. I mean, he's always trying to shorten his gospel, obviously. And on top of that, even though every book in the Old Testament existed at this time, it's not like people had, you know, a bound copy in everybody's home, right? They couldn't just go up and look up references for when they wanted to. They simply didn't have it with them. So they had to go by their memory. And if you notice his quote here of Isaiah, you should have noticed it's a little different than our first reading, our Old Testament text today. Because what Mark says is, a voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It's not exactly what Isaiah says, though, does he? See, Isaiah says, one is coming, you know, crying, and one is crying, and basically comma or semicolon, as you can see in the Old Testament. And it says what? In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight in the desert. You can see the parallel there, right? Prepare the way, make his path straight, in the wilderness, in the desert. So in other words, Isaiah is not trying to explain to people where this guy is yelling. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. He's trying to tell us why this guy is yelling. It's not important that he's doing it in the wilderness. It's important because the people themselves have found themselves in a wilderness. And the people have become a wilderness. And so when God calls his servant, he doesn't say to the servant, go out to these people and tell them to prepare themselves, and once they've prepared themselves, then I will come to them. He doesn't say that. He says, to John, you're my servant. You need to prepare these people because whether ready or not, here I come. Aren't those the words of hide and seek? Ready or not, here I come. A couple months ago, I think I preached on the time I played hide and seek with my friends, and we neglected to pick someone who was supposed to be seeking, so we all hid. It wasn't nearly as fun. And again, for me, the fun part of hide and seek really is not seeking. The fun part's not hiding. The fun part is being found. And that's exactly what John the Baptist is here to do. He's here to make sure people are found. Because when God comes, he's not just coming for people who are prepared for him and ignoring the rest. It says he is coming for each and everyone. And so John the Baptist has to prepare them. And as we see in this text, he's preparing them with the baptism of repentance. John the Baptist says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus will say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here. But a big question is, why would anybody come out to see John the Baptist? I could count six this last week, six reasons, good reasons, not to come out and see him. Number one was his location. He's in the wilderness. That's a desert, far away from any food or water that they could drink. Secondly, it's far away from Jerusalem, the main population center, so why would anybody pack up and go all the way out in the wilderness to see John? Thirdly, he's kind of bizarre, right? He's dressed in camel's hair, has a horrible diet, and he's yelling at everybody all the time. So why would you want that? On top of that, the Bible says he never did one sign. He never did a miracle that would draw people to him. And number five and six, it's his message. Number one, his message isn't what they want to hear, which is God's going to come and stick it to the Romans. It's what they don't want to hear. And that is, the Romans aren't the problem. You guys are the problem. And so he calls them to repentance. Now we have to understand again, what is repentance? Repentance is not something we do. It's not us making a 180. It's not us changing our mind. It's not us becoming perfect people. Repentance, as the Bible states, is something that God does for us. Opening our eyes to our condition. The lost sheep will finally realize, you know, maybe this wasn't such a good idea that I left the flock. For a while there, it was fun, right? I had more grass, I had more water, I had more room and more space, but now it's not so good because now I'm vulnerable and I'm in danger and I'm going to get killed and all I want to do is go home. But he can't. I saw an example of this. It's a video of, I think it was five teenagers. They were like 14 and 15 years old and they had killed their friend for absolutely no reason, just to do it. And like 14 and 15-year-olds, they talked about it. And then they got caught. And most of the video is basically images of each of these people separated, all these 14 and 15-year-olds, as they're being interrogated by the police. Well, eventually, of course, someone breaks, and then they all broke. And then they were guilty, and they were caught. And just at the end, there was one of these interrogation rooms with this 14-year-old girl who was complicit in this and took part in this killing. And then the police officer left her for a little while. And she was in there alone, but still being taped. And she just started rocking back and forth and crying. And she said, I want my mommy. I want my mommy. And she's not going to get her mommy. That's someone who all of a sudden very clearly understands their condition. But that's not Christian repentance. Christian repentance is not just seeing our condition. It's seeing the God who broke into this world because the world had become broken. It was a world that he had created and at one point said, this is very good. And now he has broken into that world to make it good again by feeding the hungry, by healing disease, by raising the dead, by forgiving sins, and guaranteeing forgiveness and redemption by his own death on the cross. This is the new era of the gospel, the era of the good news that Mark begins his gospel with. And I said earlier that John the Baptist never did a sign, he never did a miracle. Well, that's true, he never did a miraculous sign, but he did do a sign that in itself is pretty miraculous. he was the first and only person to point at Jesus and to say to all the lost sheep that had gathered around him, there's the good shepherd. There's the one who's come to save you. There's the one who comes to take you home. And John the Baptist preaches that same good news to each and every one of us today, and he still points to that same Savior. In his name we pray.